This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. For months now, I have been talking about clean technologies, renewable technologies. Very important with all the bad signs we're getting about climate change coming in the future and our need to get off of the black goo coming out of the ground and instead use the sun and the wind and other renewable technologies. My friend Joel McCower has been writing about these sort of things for over 25 years. He runs a company called greenbiz.com, where he is the executive editor, and joins me now to discuss where we are in the summer of 2014. Joel, welcome to America Weekend.
Hello, Paul.
Let's start with that right there. Give me the status of green tech as of today.
Well, you wouldn't necessarily know it from the headlines, but it's alive and well. Specifically energy tech, because green tech, first of all, is a vague term, and it can refer to lots of different things. But when you're talking about renewable energy like wind and solar and biomass and hydropower, it's really doing quite well. Solar has just exploded in the market because of the reducing cost of solar. It's actually accounting, renewable energy is accounting for up to 75% of all the new power capacity added in the United States. In other words, if you took all the power plants, natural gas, nuclear, coal, there really aren't new nuclear or coal plants being built. And you look at that, that renewable power is actually, there's more renewable power coming online than anything else. It's still a small percentage. It's only about 8% of all the electricity that we produce and use, but it's growing really quickly, faster than anyone I think we've even expected.
Are utilities embracing this?
It depends. There's hundreds of utilities and there's 50 different or 51 different public utility commissions in the United States. And each one has a different set of rules. And every state can have 2 or 5 or 10 major utilities, not to mention municipal utilities. Cities like Los Angeles or Austin, Texas, have their own city-owned utilities. And then there's the big investor-owned utilities, and there's rural electric utilities. So there's lots of these, and some of them are leading the way, and some of them are really lagging, and they're just putting up a fight, making it very difficult for solar to be utilized.
So is business leading the way?
Business is leading the way in a couple ways. One is that it's big companies that have really taken this to scale. The government subsidies are going away. They're being phased out, they still exist some places, but not many. But companies like SolarCity and SunPower, U.S. companies, and smaller companies like Sungevity are growing quite nicely, and it's all of a sudden putting solar on your roof, whether you're a residential customer or a business customer, is a lot more like DirecTV than it is like home remodeling. Home remodeling, they come out several times, they do measurements, plans, and then it takes weeks and weeks. And DirecTV, they come out in an afternoon, and it's kind of plug and play.
Yeah.
And solar is kind of in between, but it's much closer to DirecTV now.
But what about, when I ask about business, I mean, are businesses looking at this as a way to save themselves money and also help the earth? That word sustainability will come into the conversation now. Are companies like Walmart, the largest retailer in the world, are they saying, hey, let's put solar panels on our roofs because that will help us save money?
Businesses don't do much that's just about saving the earth. They tend to do things that make money. And so you've got just a lot of companies now that are embracing this. Yes, you mentioned the department stores, the big box. Kohl's actually is the biggest one, and Whole Foods, Walmart's down there a little bit, and Staples, McDonald's, but also companies like and Safeway and Best Buy, but other companies like FedEx and Levi Strauss and I'm trying to think of some of the others that aren't retailers. Our FedEx is another one. Are just finding that this is helping them plan their energy better, plan their energy costs. What this goes to, Paul, is the reason that most companies are embracing not just green technologies, but green practices. And it's not really about saving the earth, although that's a nice outcome. And it's not even about saving money, although that's certainly a nice outcome. But it's about risk, reducing risk and improving resilience against shocks, whether it's power outages or floods or hurricanes or terrorism or anything else, or oil price spikes or gas price spikes. That's why they're doing this. It's just a hedge against risk.
One of the other topics I've talked about often in the last year on this show, Joel, is income inequality, which is becoming a bigger and bigger issue, and certainly has been growing since the beginning of this recession, if not before. And I'm curious about, when it comes to talking about renewable technologies and sustainable technologies, is this something that is leaving lower income people out? People who, they want to buy a car, but a hybrid or an electric vehicle now costs more, so maybe they're not in that same market. When we talk about putting solar technology in their houses, maybe they don't have the money now to be making that upfront investment in that, et cetera. Are we finding income inequality affecting even this sector of our society?
Well, yes, sort of. Let me talk about two different things. One is that the business model for getting solar on your home has changed. So it used to be you had to spend $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 to buy the solar equipment to put on the roof, and that was expensive, and nobody could afford that except the people who could buy $90,000 Teslas. But most of the companies now, the big ones like SolarCity is a great example. It's no money down. They put it on the roof. They own the panels. The company owns the panels. They lease you the electricity, just like you get electricity from right now from your utility, and you can lock in rates for 20 years. How many times do you know what your price is going to be for 20 years?
Yeah.
And so that's making it a lot more affordable. Having said that, you know, this is still not available to people who don't own their own homes, who live in apartment buildings. And it's, you know, this is not yet something that everyone can get, the solar energy specifically we're talking about. Now, when you talk about things like electric cars, or cars in general, you know, there's this whole sharing economy, the Zipcars and Ubers and things like that, the things that no longer require us to own things in order to be able to use them. Because, as you know, your car sits there for 96% of the day, 98% of the day, just sitting there, you know, doing nothing. And now these shared vehicle outfits are really gaining speed, if you will, and allowing people to just do micro rentals. I just need a car to get for an hour to go pick up my kid and take him to the soccer, or to go to the store, or, you know, run an errand or whatever. And you may not need to own this 5,000-pound thing that's sitting there, you know, for 23 hours a day not doing anything. And so that's actually making transportation, mobility, accessible to more people.
Are we getting consumers more and more interested in this? And how can the clean tech industries reach out to consumers better than they have?
People really haven't gravitated, except in a few small ways. And here's the reason why, is that, you know, people say on one hand, I don't want to change. You know, I like what I like. I buy what I buy. Well, the thing is, the reality is that we change all the time. Think how much we've changed in the last 20 years, the last 10 years, the last 5, in terms of how we get music and movies and information and news and make plans and communicate and all sorts of things. The reason we do that is because things are better. Now, you know, Steve Jobs did not invent iTunes because the world was running out of plastics to make CDs. He created a better technology, and we, you know, got rid of our CDs and records and tapes and everything else, and we now download and stream music. And that happens to have huge environmental benefits in terms of less material and packaging and energy to ship it and manufacture it and the waste at the end and all of that. But it's because it's a better technology. So the problem, Paul, is that most green products have not really made the case to customers, to consumers, to us, that they're better. They're just different, and they're sort of faith-based initiatives that, you know, it's going to somehow save the planet. The one exception are things that we either put on our bodies or put in our bodies or bring into our homes, like cleaners or cosmetics or obviously food. That's made some difference, but that's as much around health, personal health, as it is around planetary health.
Joel, you've been talking about these issues on my radio shows at various radio stations for a quarter of a century now. It's been fascinating to me to see not only your growth in the field, but But as the field has grown and changed and matured, and hopefully that will continue going for the next 25 years.
It's been great run, and it's far from over. In fact, I think we're just getting going.
I certainly hope so. Joel McCower is executive editor of greenbiz.com. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Always a pleasure, Paul.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.